Hare Krishna, welcome everyone to this session. So we'll just briefly review what we covered last session from 4 to 7, right? So 4 to 5, Krishna is describing different various qualities all the living entities possess, and he's saying all of these come from me. So can somebody share like some of the qualities which were striking, which definitions which were new for you, like something very new which you haven't heard?
Most of the thing was like nowadays, you know, bhakti.
Yeah.
Krishna consciousness. That's how Srila Prabhupada had written purport. So that was a new way of making it. Most words like non-violence or...
So what is the definition of non-violence which Sri Papa gave?
Hurting someone, others' feelings is also non-violence.
Non-violence, yes. Mm. It's violence.
Why?
Avoid that also. To maintain non-violence, you need to avoid
that. Into misery or confusion.
Right. Yeah. Results. Anybody, if he causes anybody misery or confusion, then that's also violence. Okay.
Earlier, one of the definitions was anything if you have talked. Like during the devotional service is not.
Yes,
violence.
Yes.
But because if you say hurting someone, in Mahabharata, there's a lot of violence.
Yeah. But that's also violence only. It's not we cannot say, the war was non-violence,
yeah.
Right? But it's under Krishna's direction, so it's transcendental violence, which is needed. Okay, some more? What is famous? The definition for famous. Very nice. When I heard this, I was very much impressed.
One was a great devotee.
One is popular to be known as a great devotee. That is real fame. We can be known as a good software architect or a good mother or good cook or so many things, right? But if somebody knows us as a good devotee, that's real fame. No, very nice. You can. We just went through, if you get a chance, you can listen to that class. We just jumped through definitions, we didn't read the whole purport. Directly for the words and then little bit whatever I thought I can share, I could share.
Last class recording,
which we have it already put it, which we placed it already on the site. You can check. Okay, so the next verse. Then what was the conclusion of this purport? Last two paragraphs, Srila Prabhupada gives us the crux of all this. Some of the points which you remember, like.
Yes.
Basically, good or bad, everything actually created by Krishna.
So whenever we see something seemingly bad in somebody, we should not see it separate from Krishna. We should see it connected to Krishna. That's what we elaborate first. That was one of the main points we wanted to discuss. Because we can, when something good, we can somehow feel it's something connected to Krishna. But something is bad, like somebody is envious, somebody is hurtful, somebody is deceitful, somebody is cheating. Then we feel, we try to alienate. We try to alienate those people because of those bad qualities. But actually those qualities are also coming from Krishna. So we should know that and then deal accordingly. It's not that you want to embrace that.
Be tolerant
and but still see it in connection with Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. That's what how I'm saying this is related to the understanding of that Vidya Vinaya Sampanna verse, where it says that one who is a learned person, he sees the dog eater, learned Brahmana, as well as a Malacha, lower caste. Yeah, four categories, everybody equally says, and the Krishna says in that verse, person who is learned. So what is the real understanding of that? That means it's like he sees them as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. But at the same time, doesn't mean he treats everybody equally. We go and embrace it, like a tiger saying it's a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, is my god brother, god sister, right? Then tiger will act according to the conditioned nature of his particular body. He's impelled to act like that and it's going to come and eat us, right? So the conception with which we see them is spiritual conception. But the way we deal is appropriate to their conditioning. That's how we respect them in the position they are. That's a real way we should treat them. You see the point? So when somebody is cheating or envious or something, in the heart we know, okay, this is spirit soul of Krishna. We have to know this is spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and this person is impelled to act according to their own conditioning and their own behavior, their own desires, which are not so beneficial, benevolent, right? And they are try to emit such poison against me or such person. So, but we keep distance. You see the point? We see that in connection to Krishna, and then, okay, what's the best way to deal with that person? If I associate with that person, maybe I'm going to get hurt more, and my morale will go down, and my intu will go down about Krishna consciousness. So it's not beneficial for my Krishna consciousness. So I will keep association, distance in association, right? So, but then let's understand the opposite. How will we do it without Krishna consciousness? How would we act if we don't see it in connection to Krishna? If you understand that, then we know, how this is different. So let's say if we don't have a connection with Krishna, how will we, when somebody is acting like that, we just target that person. It's like, how dare you do that? How dare he does that? I never did this to him. He did it like this to me. You just think about that person, that action, that behavior, everything. There is nowhere Krishna in picture. It's between you and that person and the behavior. Right? There is no Krishna. You don't see it connected to Krishna. You don't see it's happening because of my reactions coming back to me. All there are different ways when reversals happen, you can look at things in Krishna conscious way. So those things, if you do it, then it's material. The way material consciousness, the way we are looking at it is, that's why they say we should look at things jnana chakshushu, from the eyes of the scriptures. So we have some knowledge. So through that knowledge, we should see things. We should see things like people are behaving such and such way because of impelled by the modes. But actually, originally, they are pure souls, part and parcel of Krishna. Right? Everybody is pulled by the modes. Like that, there are different ways we can help help see the things in such a way that it's elevating to us, elevating to others. Otherwise, what happens the way, if the second way we look at it in a material way, it degrades us, right? We come into lower modes like ignorance and anger, right? And then the reaction also we give back, it's very, it's not so beneficial to others. But if we see it in a Krishna conscious way, we have a moment to decide how to act, like mode of goodness. So we can choose how to act in a way that it's uplifting me to me and to others. Of course, these are all very, very tough tests. When it happens, it's very tough to, but at least we know the knowledge, and when it happens, we know we can catch ourselves, I could have been better. And we can pray for all these qualities to manifest in us. So that's the point Srila Prabhupada is saying, these qualities are automatically manifested in the devotee based on the devotion, pleased by the devotion service of the devotee.
It's, now people who are just starting, who are novices, right? They are now in an awkward position because they want to act, but they know that they are so far removed from that, and now they are stuck. Okay, you can't, you have to see it in the proper light. Then when you see it, you still want to act, and then you realize, oh my God, how far fallen.
So
that's really bad.
Yeah, that gap is embarrassing, and that can make us humble. That can make us more determined about our practices. Because we know this process can take us to that place. Okay. Yes. Okay, so Mataji is asking a question, like, if you don't have faith in Krishna, when such a situation happens, you react in a particular way. Basically, you give out anger reaction or something which is not so beneficial. But somebody, let's say, who has faith in Krishna also, but still, if he doesn't act in an appropriate way, question is, how to face those people? People who believe in Krishna, faith in Krishna, but still they act in a way which are not exemplary. Yeah, especially husband and wife, it's most common, right? You see, other person is devotee, but outside the house, they're devotees. Inside the house, they are not devotees. It's just husband and wife. We have to deal with all the things, which nobody else sees. right? So that's pretty common. So main thing, especially between husband and wife, we have to practice tolerance. That's very important, and we should keep the respect. And just one thing, if we can, one of the person, no, if the person who feels like, you know, maybe that person is not being treated well, let's say, you know, the other person anyway, who is dominating, demanding, that person need not get an advice, you know, he feels he's doing right, unless he comes to the situation that, you know, I need to hear something. But the person who is being a victim, let's say, you know, if they can cultivate this consciousness, it will help them. So the consciousness is that at least my husband or wife is fixed up in devotional service, seemingly, you know, from whatever I know. And this devotional service is so potent that it's going to fix all this bad things which I'm seeing now. Yeah, it's going to fix it. So it's just a matter of time. So somehow, Krishna, give me strength to tolerate until that time. You know, give me strength so that I don't lose my faith in you. Just give me strength to deal with it in a way that it doesn't affect me. That's all. So if you can just keep that prayer, whenever it happens, it should just bring us to this prayer. You know, this, at least we are so great, that's why we are so happy that our so-called husband and wife, they are in Krishna consciousness, in practicing and everything. So that's very, very fortunate, actually, you know, very fortunate. So we can take that as a great blessing of the Lord already. It's a great blessing of the Lord that already we are on the path of the journey. So one example is given, like somebody is, he played in the mud so much, you know, like a kid or anybody, they played so much outside in the mud, and they are coming and taking shower. So somebody is criticizing them while shaking shower, all the mud is coming out. They're criticizing them, see, so dirty person, no? Somebody can criticize them like that, or somebody can appreciate them that, okay, they're cleaning themselves. Mud is coming out, they're just in a moment of time, they're going to be fresh and they're going to come out. Right? So we are just seeing them while they're taking bath, unfortunately. Right? So just wait some time. Maybe sometimes it may be many years, you know? If you just wait some time, we'll see a very fresh and clean person.
we won't be there. In a problem, these type of thoughts doesn't come to mind. That's a big problem, you know.
Yeah. That's why we should hear again and again. We should hear it again and again, and mainly, you know, we should somehow slowly try to come to mode of goodness. When we are in mode of goodness, we have a moment to reflect before we act. Especially we should have enough rest. For me, that's my main catch point now. We should have some enough rest, required amount of rest, and somewhat in mode of goodness. Then we can act in a way which is, you know, which our Guru Maharaj and spiritual masters can be proud about. Okay. So text number 6.
I don't remember the point. Last week's in some shloka, we discussed that if we are praying Krishna when we are in pain and ask that take away my pain, you said that is like selfishness. But I was thinking, how come it becomes selfish? We should always go to Krishna for help.
Yes.
Then how come it becomes selfish? Like and Queen Kunti, she says that please give me all the worries and so that I can remind you again and again. I don't.
No, it's not like that. So I can explain. I can clarify. Help clarify. So basically, when we are in pain and we are going to Krishna to relieve our pain, it's not really pure devotional service, because we want something from Krishna. We want our pain to go away. We want some happiness. We feel, you know, I'm miserable. There is no happiness in my life. Give me some happiness. It's wanting something from Krishna. Pure devotees, they want only to serve Krishna. They say, it doesn't matter whether real, you know, pure devotees, doesn't matter whether they are born in a heaven or a hell, even, you know, next birth. They don't even pray, next birth, let me go back to you. Real pure devotees, they say, Janmani, Janmani Ishware, life after life, just make me your servant. That's what I want. So that is the real, real prayer. That whatever situation I am in, so in this case, how a pure devotee would pray, at least, you know, if I speculate, or rather if I, from my understanding, if I have to say, it's like they will say, in this painful situation, let me be faithful to you. Let me not deter my service attitude towards you. Let me not, slacken my devotion towards you. there is, I'm feeling pain and I'm not able to handle it. The same prayer. In this, I'm feeling pain, I'm not able to handle it. But you know, I'm afraid that based on the amount of Krishna consciousness I have, I may lose my faith in you. Please keep that faith. So we are not asking Krishna to resolve the problem. We are asking to protect our Krishna consciousness. So in that case, whether pain is there or not there, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm saying I want to maintain my constitutional position regardless. So just keep that one. Because I'm afraid I cannot do it. Because that's genuine fear, right? Everybody feels that's the main feeling actually we have. Not that, you know, see the point, there's a difference. There's a bodily consciousness versus Krishna consciousness. And coming to what Kunti is praying is that she is saying that prayer is, you know, very much applauded by all the acharyas. And when we discuss that prayer with our teacher, you know, I asked this question, does it mean, Prabhuji, you know, we should pray like that? Then Prabhuji said, you know, no, don't even dare like that. You know, we have enough problems in the world to go to Krishna already. You know, if you just make a prayer explicitly saying, you know, please give me problems, that's maybe, you know, it's maybe too much for you to handle. We are not at that level of Kunti to handle it. And the way she's praying is, she is feeling that intensity with which she calls out for Krishna is much more when there is troubles in our life than not. That's natural. That's for all of us also. So she wants that intensity. That's what she's praying for. I want to call out with sincere feeling. Always. Give me that. That's what she's asking actually. Yeah. Yeah, Haribo. Okay. Good clarification.
I like that. Because, you know, when there is trouble or worry in our life, that time the chanting comes out very nice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, okay, wander on.
At least, you know, the trouble or pain in our life gives us a glimpse that this world is not meant for enjoyment. You know, at least that realization, we slowly will go forward in that realization. You know, really it doesn't make sense here, you know. 2-3 days it goes fine, suddenly there will be a big fight with the husband. Then immediately you realize, okay, I just want to finish this business in this life and finish it off, you know. Let me not, you know, just slacken. And at least, you know, when we feel like that, that's good. That's the purpose of that fight. No, that fight is successful because of that. Otherwise, it's useless. Shemayavi Kevalam Bhagavatam says. No, so if we, whatever situation we go through, if we come to this conclusion that, you know, really it's not meant for me, really there is no happiness. Somehow I'm trying to find some water in the desert, like a mirage, but, you know, I'm just dry, with a dry mouth, I'm struggling so much that really there is no happiness. If we can come to the and that realization sinks more and more, that increases our devotion.
In the same context, once the pain will come, you will remember Krishna, but whenever pain is there, people remember Krishna, but then again in the pain you will do some prayer to Krishna, right? So what prayer that should be? Again you will seek for help, right? Because if you are in some severe pain or some problem, so you will pray to Krishna, then that prayer is again to help individual itself. Right?
Mm-hmm. You can clarify. I said, right, so if you tell it, maybe understandable better.
Mother is saying in that prayer, you should say that because of lack of strength, we may slacken in Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna, please help me to retain the Krishna consciousness and to improve that.
This is just an indirect way to say the same thing, right?
So, we are not telling Krishna, I have a pain in this leg, I went to this operation, this doctor did this. We give a big report of what happened. We are not telling all that. Krishna is saying, there is some situation which is causing me, which is taking my mind away from you.
That is my perception that this problem is taking my mind from you. That's, maybe I'm wrong or right. It means when you're in pain, because it's psychological, right? Every person is different, husband, wife. Same thing is for husband, it's not a problem, for wife it's a problem.
Yes, yes.
It's a
person who's feeling, yes.
But in general, maybe Krishna knows what is the problem. You my point.
Yeah.
When I will try to define my problem.
That's why we are not defining problem. We are not giving report to Krishna. We are saying, but we can analyze ourselves where our mind is going, right? Whether we are focusing same amount in the chanting every day or it's getting distracted. We know. So when we know that my mind is focusing on a particular problem, let's say, you know, my sister is not getting married, or, you know, something, my child is not, I'm not getting another child, whatever it is, or I'm not getting promotion. We know certain amount of focus is going there. So that may be, you know, easy to deal, but physical ailment, like, you know, let's say I got some dangerous disease or leg got hurt. So those things, immediately you can feel, right? Physically, your mind is going, physically attention is going, and also mind also goes there. So then we are praying to Krishna. We are not giving a report how it happened. You know, he knows everything, how it happened, right? If you want, you can share it to him. But we can say that let my attention not go towards that problem. Let me still be focused on your service. Let me still be equally determined, equally attentive towards your service. That's what I'm saying is a prayer we can do. So this is a prayer for Krishna consciousness, not prayer for solving that particular problem. Okay. So for that to fulfill, Krishna may figure out, maybe he has to remove the pain. Right? Or for Krishna may feel like now intensity is better, I want to keep the pain. It's up to him what he wants to do. Okay. So text number 6, Krishna is saying there are different people who come from him. So the sequence, there are 7 great sages. First there are 4 Kumaras. First Brahma and then 4 Kumaras. After that 7 great sages and the Manus. So basically Krishna is saying all of these come from him. Then text number 7. What Krishna gives the conclusion of, you know, what, why one has to know about Krishna's opulences.
It will leave you with no choice, no alternative but to surrender.
Surrender to Krishna, very good. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives 6 points which we discussed and we underlined. So we can refer to that later. So there are 6 points Prabhupada emphasizes how it's important to understand about opulences of the Lord. Actually today's session is very, very crucial. I wanted to, let's see how much we can go. This is called Chaturshloki Gita, these 4 verses. It's kind of like summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. 8 to 11, this is a very, very crucial section. So, hopefully, I don't know, we went somewhere today. But we'll see.
What did you say, Chatur?
Chaturshloki Gita. There are 4 verses in Bhagavatam also, they are called Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. But here, for Bhagavad Gita, 10.8 to 11 are called Chaturshloki Gita. Okay, so let's read this. All these verses actually we memorized. I don't know what are there for you to memorize. I have to look it up. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti madva vajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So it's very clear, Krishna is saying, what are some of the points here? He's the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Then, everything is emanating from him. So if there is anything which we feel it's not spiritual or material or somewhere in between, that also Krishna is saying, no, very point blank, everything is coming from me. Next point. He is wise also. And what does he do when he knows that? Engage in devotional service and worship him with all their heart. So not half-hearted. Fully with their heart, they worship Krishna. It's a very nice point, you know. That's why it's called Chaturshloki, because he's talking, kind of like summarizing the whole philosophy in these 4 verses. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, let's read little bit of the first paragraph. A learned scholar
who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya and who knows how to apply these teachings can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools.
Yeah, we can pause there. So the practical application Prabhupada is bringing about is this person is not disturbed. Once he understands, fixed up in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, knowing Krishna is a source, he doesn't get disturbed. Like for example, a bona fide sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, right? Where they believe Vishnu is the supreme, right? Narayana. So that's also according to the scripture which is based on the philosophy, that's correct actually. But there is more complete understanding beyond that actually. So then we need not fight with them, we need not, you know, battle with them, Vishnu great or Krishna is great, and it's useless. Right? Vishnu, they are all Vishnu Tattva, they are all meant to give us liberation. So, you know, it doesn't disturb. I'm attracted to Krishna, you know, I'm just worshipping Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada says once in somewhere in lecture or something, the pure devotion towards Krishna is so nice, pure among the Vrajavasis, that they completely forget that Krishna is supreme, right? They even think that even if Krishna is not supreme, it doesn't matter. I just want to play with Krishna. I just want to feed Krishna. I want to, joke with Krishna. That is the intimacy of love they have. It's not about, I want to worship only the Supreme Lord. You know, let's decide whether Vishnu is great, Krishna is great, then I will start worshipping him. You see the point? I'm spontaneous loving devotion is like I'm attracted to this particular form of Krishna. It doesn't matter, he's supreme or not supreme, it doesn't matter. I just want to love this person. Okay? So, okay, like continuing, last paragraph we'll read, Lord Krishna.
Lord is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me and no one is above me. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master with references from Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. You should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations on Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness.
So again, Srila Prabhupada is celebrating the same point, it is just fixed up in this philosophy. Then don't worry about fools, who are talking Krishna as ordinary person, don't get bewildered. Then just continue with your devotional service. The other point Srila Prabhupada is saying is, one who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master with references from the Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. So this point, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness. This is the same term we discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam also. It's called by all means. Remember this, somehow the one of the members, Srija Mataji, she's our practicing devotee. So she caught that, it stuck her in the heart, by all means. Until that time she was not chanting 16 rounds. Like she was trying all this, okay. Of course, she has a full... her whole schedule is packed, she has two grown up kids, she both her husband and wife are working, and she does so much services in temple. So among all that, she's trying to chant 16, maybe 12 rounds or something like that. But when that, after that session, when we discussed about by all means one has to worship Krishna, that means she understood by all means whatever is all my resources I have to focus towards Krishna consciousness. So by all means, somehow I should try to chant 16 rounds. She started with great determination, and I think from then on she's continuing to chant 16 rounds. So nice, it's a point. And we are convinced that this is the goal, this is what we need to do. Then we will get that strength to put let me give my best shot. All my energy, all my, based on situation we have, based on our husband, wife situations, all those things. At least from the heart, we want to feel like, we should have this desire that one day I want to be fully Krishna conscious. Let it be, that's why it is said, if you don't have desire, you should desire to have a desire. because it's all based on our desires. Krishna orchestrates our whole life based on desires, right? We discussed that in so many ways. It's all based on our desire. So if we have the desire and sincere desire, then it just manifests in our lives. Okay. So then should we go to the next verse? Text number 9. This Krishna is talking about now. He discussed earlier they worship in pure devotional service, right? So he's giving in 9 the characteristics of pure devotees. What do they do? What is their job classification? Generally, if you have to classify pure devotees, what do they do? Machita madgata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tuschanti charamanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is the bio, what is that, bio data, or the
resume
of pure devotees. What are some of the qualifications? Can
service,
list thoughts, thoughts,
thoughts, and discussing.
Mm.
Pastimes of the Lord.
Yeah, enlightening one another. So everything is about Krishna. So they never lose. They will never miss Krishna for even for a moment. They always want to be absorbed in Krishna. This is how they absorb themselves. They think about Krishna and they fully devote. Whatever they do is service to Krishna. And they derive great satisfaction in helping, talking about Krishna with one another and conversing about me. So now we can measure where we are actually based on our actions, you know, what we think, what activities we do, how, where we derive pleasure talking about what, you know, is it about new dress, some new dress, some new movie released, or, you know, some stock market, some hype in stock market, you know, do we get more delight about discussing about them or discussing about Krishna? So we can measure where we are, you know, how far we are and how much more we can work towards the progress. So when we feel there is a gap, it should not demotivate us. It should only give us, okay, there is more, I can go further than what where I am. So it's very good way to look at it. Okay, so so can we can see all of this in Srila Prabhupada, right? Like from our most nearest, or all of our Srila Prabhupada disciples, you know, or some practicing devotees, we can see. You all feel like, you know, one day we want to come here. It's such a nice place to be, right? Just imagine. But do we feel, are we afraid about that? Do we have any fear to be there? Why there is no fear?
Because Krishna is there.
Krishna is there, okay. But still, there is something, right? You feel... do you feel like maybe will I be satisfied enough
I
there?
Have that.
Huh?
I still have that.
You still have fear. Okay.
But like, it's not like material world doesn't fascinate me anymore. It does still. So it's not on a constant basis. It fluctuates. But then I am not very sure what is next with the spiritual life ahead. So it's like I'm pretty sure what I get here, but I'm not sure what.
Exactly.
I get.
Yeah. Okay, very nice. Mm. Yeah, so there is still some uncertainty about what is in Krishna.
Yeah, uncertainty.
Uncertainty, yes. Very nice. What are some of the fears?
My feeling is that we are very much connected to material world. It's true. But from the scriptures, we know that Krishna is all powerful and he is very mystical. He can do anything. After we go to, by chance, if we go to Goloka, I think he is powerful and he will caught hold of us, that he will never let us come back again.
Mm-hmm.
That is my feeling.
Okay, so you are confident that somehow or the other I should get to Goloka.
Yeah, if I go to that's it. He will
never
let
us come back. Okay, very nice. Very nice, yeah. Very good point. Mm. Yeah. So I don't have faith in... actually, you know, this reminds me of one related thing. Like one person, I think it's Sachi, who's... Okay, somebody's disciple, Indradyumna Maharaj, heard the Vyasa Puja offering of that disciple, I think Shivaram Maharaj disciple, of that disciple to her Guru Maharaj. So he often quotes this all the time in his lectures, so it stayed with me. So that disciple prayed to spiritual master. Spiritual master, you took so many lifetimes to find me. Just in this life, don't leave me again. So then Maharaj was reflecting. Generally, you know, in olden ages, sadhus used to, people used to go to sadhus, right? Sadhus will stay in one place, you go, you know, I want guidance, I want this thing. But these days, Kali Yuga, sadhus roam and find people, you know, they claim fallen souls. That's the age now. So that disciple knows that. She's saying, you know, so many lifetimes it took for you to find me. So don't leave me now in this life. You know, just hold me, continue to hold me. That's the prayer she had. You know, it was very touching the way she said. At least, I think few years back or sometime in my Vyasa Puja offering also, I shared the same feeling. I was saying, you know, I don't have strength to hold on to your lotus feet actually. You know, somehow I'm grappling now with this. Somehow I'm trying to hold on, but I don't have my strength. So please, you hold me tight. So I was saying, you know, you hold me tight, then I will not go anywhere. So it's a very nice feeling. There's a feeling of... healing comes from humility, that, you know, we have so many misgivings, so many anarthas and so many things which can take us away from Krishna. So, but I have faith in you, Krishna, that you will let me be there with you. It's a very nice. Okay. So let's read. Okay, let's read the second paragraph. It's very nice. This paragraph is talking about a new concept where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this bhakti is compared to a devotional creeper. Have you ever heard this? It's compared to a creeper. Creeper? So we water the creeper and it grows. And so somebody might have heard, many of you may have heard, otherwise not. You can just read this. It's a very nice description.
In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they release the transcendental pleasure from service itself. In the matured stage, they are actually situated in the love of God. Once situated in the transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likened transcendental devotional service to the sowing of the seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of living entity, and if it goes on hearing the chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of a devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruit, and watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It is explained that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in the love of the God. Then he cannot leave even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord.
Hmm. Yeah, so bhakti in the seed of devotion. So we all have devotion towards the Lord already, but it's inert right now. Right? It's like Indrajit Maharaj, she often gives this example when to elaborate this further. He says, like, let's say in the shop we buy packets of seeds, right? You get the seed, put it in a shelf, what will happen? Nothing will happen. But you take the seed, put it in a fertile ground and put water, then it germinates and it grows into a plant. So that's what. We all have seeds in our hearts, but it's inert. But when a pure devotee sees and we get some mercy, rain of mercy from pure devotee, then that starts getting activated and starts growing. And the process of initiation gives this process of hearing and chanting. That's the way Guru Maharaj is giving the process now of hearing and chanting to the disciple. Now it's completely authorized and, you know, with the blessings. So then the disciple starts following the process of watering the root of the, you know, the creeper, watering the devotional creeper, or, you know, by hearing and chanting, then the devotion grows. So as the tree grows, so the devotion grows into realization of Krishna and Goloka, and there it bears the fruits and flowers of love of God. That's what we offer to Krishna. That's the comparison, you know, Lord Chaitanya gives about devotional creeper. So, then devotee also attains transcendental qualities at that time. It's a very nice analogy, you know, comparison. So, the main crucial point about this example is the watering process. You know, for the tree, what is the watering process for devotion? Mm-hmm. Chanting and hearing. And that goes on even in the liberated stage. It's not like, you know, only for until I realize Krishna, I hear and chant. But after that, as we're discussing in this words, pure devotees relish more and more. More and more they are hankering to hear about Krishna. So we should develop that hankering. So the next paragraph, we'll read, last paragraph.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to devotees. As stated in Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavam
Vaishnavanam Priyam.
Yeah. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only devotee
narration.
It's only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and His devotee is fully described. Thus the realized soul in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association.
So then Prabhupada is pointing about Srimad Bhagavatam, which has description of the loving exchanges between Lord and devotees. So the pure devotees, they relish reading, hearing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, so when there is announcing a class, it's not like they'll find an excuse how to not come, but they are so eager, you know, how can I finish up my duties and just go and attend, hear about Shri Krishna. Now that's, we can see, you know, these are all tangibly we can measure where we are and how much advancement we are making. How much ever we are attracted to hankering or, you know, eager about hearing about Krishna, that's how much we are wanting Krishna actually in our lives. Because hearing about Krishna is non-different from Krishna himself. Okay? So same thing, and then just so Bhagavatam is a literature we have. So, you know, it may be hard to relish studying Srimad Bhagavatam on our own. Sometimes, you know, it's struggle. But in discussion of association of devotees, sometimes it becomes easy to get the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam or, you know, some pure devotional narrations. Okay, so go to the next verse. Next two verses are very crucial, where Krishna is talking about how he reciprocates with such devotees. No, pure devotees, now we know they are completely remembering, absorbed in Krishna. So what does Krishna do in return for them? It's a very nice, you know, which gives us some clue about, you know, what is Krishna's reciprocation and how it can help us increase our faith. Text number 10. Tesham satate yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Oh, so nice, so sweet. So what is the qualification? Constantly devoted to serving me with love. So all these characteristics, if we have all these qualifications, then what does Krishna do? He gives the understanding by which we can come to me. So he gives step by step. No, he gives, like, you know, okay, now somehow you move closer to these people, you know, associate with these people more. After that he says, okay, you take shelter of this spiritual master. After that he says, you take particular service. So many ways by which, you know, Krishna gives us the guidance by which slowly, slowly it will enhance our Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Okay, so let's read the first paragraph.
In this verse, the word Bhakti Yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord instructing Arjuna said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of Bhakti Yoga. Now, Bhakti Yoga is explained. Bhakti Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Bhakti means intelligence and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. In other words, Buddhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed. and the ultimate goal is achieved.
Very nice. So Prabhupada is now relating to the point Buddhi Yogam. Krishna also says Buddhi Yogam Dadami Tam, right? Dadami. So Buddhi Yogam, no, we discussed that in second chapter where Krishna says Arjuna, that instructing Arjuna, he had spoken to him many things related to Buddhi Yoga. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. Ultimately Buddhi Yoga means that the intelligence by which we can get out of this material world or go back to spiritual world. The last three lines are very significant. You know, Prabhupada is saying first of all one should fix the goal. Like, you know, okay, goal is Krishna, I'm very clear about it. Once we are fixed, but then we can slowly but progressively we'll traverse. No, we may take time, but because our desires are fixed, then Krishna will slowly direct us and we can come to the ultimate goal. Let's read the last paragraph.
A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engages himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him.
Oh, so encouraging, right? So he's even talking about people who are attached to, like for example, all of us. Now we know about ISKCON, we know about, you know, initiations, all this, we know about the philosophy, right? We know everything. So, but of course we don't have, maybe some of us don't have bona fide spiritual master, and maybe, at least we know spiritual organization is there, right? Somehow we know. But still there is some hindrance or something is blocking, something is happening, right? Where we are not able to give fully. But if you just, whatever little, if you just fix, stay sincere in that service, whatever service we are doing, then slowly Krishna will help that particular person to come back to him. So Krishna is taking charge actually, for good or bad, you know, whether we like it or not. Krishna is in charge now. So, the Gauranga Prabhu was telling, when always he tells, you know, like it's coming to Krishna consciousness is like joining mafia gang. It's too late, you cannot leave now. Yeah, so it's too late. So no, we have already made that so-called mistake. No, we heard about Krishna, we heard about how wonderful he is. No, and we rendered some devotional service sincerely. So Krishna is going to act sometime or the other. No, that is a special mercy. Okay, so text number 11. Let's see what is a special mercy. Tesham evanu kampartam aham agnana jamtama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So what does Krishna do in reciprocation? What is his special mercy?
He is going to take away the
darkness of ignorance, knowledge. Yeah, with the knowledge. He illuminates us with the knowledge by which all the ignorance goes away. So ignorance is what is going to make us attached to this material world. Ignorance is causing fear, right? All this doubts, delusion, everything is because of ignorance. But when Krishna starts working from within, then with the shining lamp of knowledge, we'll have complete faith. You know, I don't have any doubt. I want to give fully myself to Krishna. We'll come to that stage. But the only thing is, we have to just, as Krishna Prabhupada is saying, take up some service and do it sincerely with love and devotion. Everybody has to do some service, one small service. Because that always Harivilas Prabhu says, right? Everybody has to do time-sensitive devotional service. Because that service is our connection to Krishna. So whatever happens, we should stick to that service. Okay, so let's read. Let's read the last paragraph. Due to
the contamination of material association, through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see? So Krishna has to help us to get relief of this materialistic attachments. You know, if we are struggling, you know, as Sangeeta Madhaji is telling, I still have attraction to the material world. Krishna has to intervene and somehow cut that. That only he can do. But how we can attract his attention is by our sincerity in our endeavors to please him. Somehow if we are sincere and let's say some devotees pray for us, that may become faster than we want. Okay. So, we all have contamination, Srila Prabhupada is saying. And this contamination is our attachment to this, enjoy this material world. That Krishna slowly clears it off. If at all, we are sincere in serving him. So can we share, I wanted to leave some time for sharing. So can we share some exchange from incidents from your own life where you feel you had certain doubts or something earlier, and gradually, you know, by taking up devotional service, Krishna consciousness, those things have gone. Like some things which you can share. Like how Krishna has helped you, like as he's saying text number 11, in your life. That's what I wanted to hear. Like a certain particular doubt or something which was blocking you earlier and somehow now it's not. Now it's no longer. Now you have more firmer faith.
Before coming to Krishna consciousness, there always used to be doubts about the so many gods and just coming from Indian cultures. There was never a clear, like, what is right, what is wrong. The DYS and all, after coming to Krishna consciousness, at least we are now clear what we need to do. That at least is
okay,
what
so
we had before and now we know what we
okay.
don't have.
Mm. Okay, so it's complete, you've got clear understanding of everything. Yeah. But I'm talking about something which, during your journey of Krishna consciousness, in the initial stages, let's say, always you were not able to make a step because of certain particular doubt you had or something. You are not able to give yourself fully. But maybe in due course that got cleared. Is there anything like that?
For me, Mataji, earlier the difficult part for me to accept someone as a teacher. Now I can surrender to the teacher, like you are teaching us, Harilas Prabhu is teaching us. You can here in submissive mode.
Oh, very good, very good.
But earlier I had no trust to the people earlier. So many people, like I born in Bottom in Delhi, so many gurus were coming and going. So I had
literally
no
faith
in anyone.
Very nice. So
this was like
very good. See, this could be a stumbling block for years actually. You know, where we could not ever make progress. We have everything in front of us, but we are not accessing that. Because my heart is not ready. But that takes Krishna's mercy to clear that block. So we are now, we can receive that knowledge and we can apply it, you know, to the extent possible. So I wanted to hear something like that. Anybody can share anything else? Just reflect from 3 years, 4 years. You know, we have been doing now, how many Prabhupada keeps account? This fourth year. 4 years we are together, right? So there should be something. Huh? 3 years are done, now we are running fourth year, I think.
Before also I went to India, like before coming to Krishna consciousness and after I entered this I can compare the reactions towards parents or things, problems or everything. That was more better than what after coming to Krishna consciousness. I feel like this is not a big problem compared to birth, old age, the four problems what the scripture says. and compared to those kind of things, these are not problems at all. And I don't need to worry about these things. They will come and go. No need of paying attention, putting our mind, stressing ourselves. It is a waste of time.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
I'm
still practicing, but there is a little change.
Yes, very nice. Yes, so basically these things could have caused a stumbling block, you know. Mm-hmm. Earlier it could have taken months and months of delving in the same thing and discussing issues and things like that. But now you don't give enough attention or importance that you don't waste your time. Or you feel like you're wasting your time. So that way, you know, it doesn't block your Krishna consciousness. It's a very good, yeah. Anything Mataji you want to share?
I have to become like head, Mataji. I'm still thinking, like wasting a lot of my time.
I'm
spoiling myself.
Yeah.
I have to become like.
Yeah. So we all started there, so you know.
Yeah. You will become a germ after, like.
Yeah, butterfly.
Chala kastalu vastunte will.
Yeah. Yeah.
After so many miseries, and then we will learn something that these are just to let go.
No need to hold on to it. Yeah. Despite so many, that's the definition for love actually. I discussed this in which Bhagavatam class I think. The definition of love which I heard. No, there is every reason for the relationship to break, but still the relationship stays. That's the definition of love.
Nice, Mataji.
Right? That's pure love. You know, we can see that in our dealings with our family members or, you know, with the spiritual master or so many, like, there's every reason why, you know, we feel that person didn't reciprocate, that person cheated, so many things. But still you keep the relationship. That is pure love. Because you're thinking about giving, not taking. One time, Guru Maharaj shared this incident. He was traveling somewhere in the flight. And elderly couple, like 80s or 90s couple, they are going to a particular place. I don't know which place it is. And they are all 80s, right? So somehow it happened that he is in the middle of both of them. I don't know why. He was saying, you know, it's mysterious. I don't know why I am sitting in between. And they both are hard on hearing. So they are shouting at each other like that. And then he is seeing. And they are thinking he is a young boy. So he is sharing the incident. And then, they were talking, like, they are discussing something. Then I was very curious why they are discussing so much. Then they told, you know, young boy, he's 60s or maybe 50s or something. Young boy, you know, we are going for our 50th honeymoon, 50th celebration of our marriage. Mm-hmm. Then he said, oh, wow, American couple, you know, across 50 years. Okay, let me ask them, you know, some insights. You know, what does it take to keep the marriage? So he asked, you know, can you give us some advice? Now, what is one thing you would give to a new couple, you know, which will help them for a, you know, long marriage, you know, keep the marriage? Can you give us one thing? He said, yeah, both of them, same time, loudly said the same thing. They said, you give more than you take. Very nice. He said, that's the key for successful marriage. You give more than you take. Not about, you know, what is for me all the time. You should start thinking about how I can help, you know, help the particular person. More than what I am getting. So that's love.
For me, Mataji, like, I cannot pinpoint which incident basically occurred or something, but overall I would know that if I reflect back where I was like 7-8 years before, or 7 years before, now where I am, it has to be some mercy. Otherwise, I cannot imagine why I should be here. Where I was like earlier and versus now where I am. It has to be, it's not with my effort, it just cannot be possible. Whatever, like, it's a very, like, how would I say, though I have just got a paintbrush to start painting and I have to do a Picasso. Basically, that journey I have to, but I have just started holding a brush. That's where I am, but still, coming to this point, it has to be Krishna's mercy is where I'm like, yeah, so.
No, very nice.
It's not like one single thing.
Yes. Like, yeah, that's true. Just to stay here now, continue for so many years itself requires mercy. That's very good. Very good realization. That, you know, unless...
All I know, like in Odisha also, we have all this Ashtaprahari Jagya. Ashtaprahari means like continuous 8 days, they will have Harinam chanting, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So one party will go and they will pick up from them and they will continue doing it. So like 24 hours non-stop for 8 days. So I was very small kid, like my third standard, fourth standard probably. So I had gone to there, like I sat there. I still remember it had given a very different vibration in me, which I absolutely loved. And then I came home, but I still remember how they were like, they were so jolly minded, they were very happy, and they're dancing and they're playing the mudanga. I sat there, but that drum beat and all this vibration, I still have this in me.
Wow.
Like it was so beautiful moment.
No, very nice.
Even though as a very small kid, I have no knowledge, nothing. So, you know, it does have some vibration.
Very nice, yeah. No wonder, very special. Very nice. Okay, anybody else wants to share something? Mataji, you want to share?
What should I share? I have only seen one difference. From my childhood, when I was very, very small, I say only one thing. My DNA is made up of Bollywood movies. I've watched that many Bollywood movies. Any movie that is released, I have seen it. You asked me about 30 years back movie, I'll tell you everything, name of the character and everything. It was the biggest challenge for me to leave that time. And it took me 3-4 years. And since last year, November, I would say, I am seeing a change in myself. Now I don't feel like sitting in front of a TV or watching a movie. The moment I don't sit, but moment I see someone, people who watch movies, like Sandeep sometimes watch, kids watch, I'll pass from there and I'll think, how can I sit here? If I have to sit, how will I tell my Guru Maharaj that yes, I watch movies, I don't want to sit there, I don't want to watch them. And that feeling has gone.
Mm.
I don't feel like, I think I should do something else.
Yeah.
Read or do something else, but I don't want to
sit. That's why, right, though, once we get the natural lower taste, yeah, when you get the higher taste and naturally we lose that taste, then we don't need to force ourselves to do or not do certain things. That automatically comes with the potency of devotional service. It just happens, you know, but some people get scared. That's why I asked, you know, are we afraid of coming to the stage where we're thinking always about Krishna? We get scared because we feel, you know, what is that world, you know, what is that world without movies, what is the world without picnics, you know, we are afraid to lose this world which we feel it's real, which is not real. If we have faith and we just hang on, then just matter of time, Krishna will reveal us everything. Okay, so we'll end here. Okay. So all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.